The last time we've met, we've been talking in terms of the peace offering, and it's, you know, that it was made out of fine flour.
Meal offering.
I mean the meal offering, the meat offering. That there was no unevenness in him, that all was even, that he was, no matter whether he was welcome or unwelcome, he didn't respond differently. That he was bruised corn, he was tested in all areas. And we looked at the flour anyway, bottom line. Now let's look at the next element in it. Let's go to Leviticus 2.
Leviticus 2?
Right.
That's where we are in the 3-year cycle.
That's a good time.
Good. You're in Leviticus 2?
Now we can teach it. Yeah.
You're in Leviticus 2?
It's scary.
How'd you get out of Genesis?
Are you like on schedule?
Yeah, we're a couple weeks behind.
Where are you?
We're way behind.
Sorry.
We used to be on schedule until we started Dan Lander.
We just did Sodom and Gomorrah.
You need me to visit.
It's true. It's true.
Well, I mean,
right on the head, it was like around the time it came. It became a. We never got out of Van Lander.
And you can, but I mean, you see it in the group. I mean, your group has become ravening wolves. As soon as there's somebody in need, they all have to have an identity, so they go eat that sick flesh.
Dances with fools.
Dances with fools is a good name for your group.
Why don't you just keep your mouth shut?
That's good.
That's what we had a little yelling match over this morning. Was that this morning?
It was good. It was good.
Seems like 100 years ago.
Yeah, lots happened.
Just as a aside, though, when we started Leviticus Sunday, it was like, oh my God, how are we ever going to do anything with Leviticus? Even though we study it, we don't remember anything, you know. But when you start doing it, it just comes out. It's just there. Something is there. It doesn't happen the same way you do it, but it's there anyway. It's really neat.
And when any will offer a meat offering unto the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil upon it. Now, I'm going to hate to disappoint any of you, but this is the first time the Holy Spirit can be studied legally in the entire Scripture. It's the first time the Holy Spirit is studied in order, at the set time, after all of the work, all of the drink offerings, I mean all of the water, the ashes of the red heifer, the waters of jealousy, the turtle dove, then into the trespass offering, then into the sin offering, then into the peace offering, and then into the meat offering. The meat offering is the first time that we see the oil in this track.
Well, in this order, we haven't studied. No, we have, but according to Leviticus, we haven't even reached the.
But, I know, but you don't. Remember what I've told you. It's written in order of importance to God. It's studied in reverse. Remember?
No.
We study it. God wrote it because the burnt offering is his most important. Then the meal offering, then the peace offering, then the trespass offering. But we apprehend it opposite. That's why the ark was talked about first. But it's seen last. And it's the perfect type. That's why it's always protected. The mystery is always protected. You could talk for 100 years, and the Tiltons of the world would never understand a burnt offering, or the peace offering, or the meat offering. In fact, the interesting thing, he talks about the vow which comes from the peace offering, and he uses it as an instrument of fundraising. So, but you understand why? It's apprehended in its reverse, from the peace, from the trespass offering to the burnt offering is the last thing to apprehend. We've studied it, you know, backwards from what it's listed here.
Now, how did you know how to do that? I mean, does it? Where does it tell you to start at the end and go forward?
Well, it's obvious.
You just know that. You just discern that.
Yeah. Well, if you discern it from look at Exodus. You discern it from
the tabernacle part of it is because it's the way you walk in. That's
no. No, you don't understand. The first thing that's talked about in the tabernacle is the ark.
Yeah, but I mean...
in the law.
Right.
That's the last thing seen. It's the same thing here. Yeah. It just became obvious. You can't...
So once you've looked at the whole thing, then you can see...
Yeah, if you have eyes to see, then you see that it's always listed from God's standpoint what's important to the least important from God's standpoint. But we apprehend it the opposite way. We see it the opposite way. Now, it's important to hear this. We could have studied all the gifts of the Spirit and all memorized the fruit of the Spirit. We could have memorized all of the, and nothing could have happened legally until now.
Somehow this makes sense. I don't know why, but it's like the Holy Spirit hasn't been mentioned, basically.
Yeah, it's the first time. Oil. Oil. Luke the book of Luke is a book about the Holy Spirit. But more importantly, it's about the oil of the meat offering, if you have eyes to see. You have to understand that the meal offering was fine flour, but it was incomplete. If there was no oil. Now, both of these things and all of these things represent aspects or metaphors for what his work is, his finished work. But it has to do with timing. You got to understand that in the economy of God, the meat offering could not be accepted or made until the offerer had gone through, you know, everything we've talked about. You can't get there from here. It doesn't matter what they call something. Do you understand? It doesn't matter. Well, praise God, I'm giving my offering to God. Well, God didn't even hear them. It has to have seen in the apprehension. I'm not saying that it's, you know, that somebody's going to hell if they don't apprehend the peace offering. That's what I'm saying, or the meat offering. I'm saying that for us, where we are now, it behooves us to apprehend it. Now, we'll notice something. We see, the first thing we look at, Leviticus chapter 1, verse 1, the whole first chapter is on the burnt offering. Now, in the burnt offering, we see the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit, the burnt offering, is as water. That's his type. His type as water. In the meat offering, we see the Holy Spirit as oil. The importance of that is mind-blowing. Because as water, the Holy Spirit is cleansing. As oil, the Holy Spirit is nourishing and healing and mollifying. You understand?
Well, I really feel like not intellectually, but feeling, understand the second part, which is being ground and ground and ground over time to an incredible consistency as flour, and then the oil being poured on it, I feel like I can feel the understanding.
Amen. Now, you got to see that without the oil, the offering was incomplete. Now, oil in its nature of nourishing and healing is always, without exception, the emblem of the Holy Spirit. Water is also the emblem of the Holy Spirit. But whenever water is the emblem of the Holy Spirit, you can bet it's talking about the burnt offering. Whenever oil is the emblem of the Holy Spirit, it's talking about the meat offering. And the meat offering and the burnt offering go together, hand in hand. All one is as to the God, one is as to man. Now, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. What that means is, it doesn't mean sitting around. What that means is you then have the potential to be life-giving. you then have the potential to be what? The burnt offering. Because as he is in the world, so are you. But the other emblematic, the other emblems of the oil are throughout the New Testament also, and that's where it's the healing work of the Holy Spirit, the together aspects, the knitting together, the nourishing, the cherishing, that kind of aspect. Of,
the other one, what, there's fire and the dove?
Yeah, fire, the fire aspect of the Holy Spirit, we'll get into later, but is the baptism. And the dove aspect of the Holy Spirit is the harmlessness of the peace.
They're not related to the meat offering.
Well, only to the extent that all of them are talking about
aspects
of the Holy Spirit. But right now we're seeing in this aspect of the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with fire, has nothing to do with water, has nothing to do with peace or dove. It has nothing to do with you as an individual. The oil is always
service.
It's in service. It's in meeting need. It's in healing. It's in nourishing others.
Yeah, I'm thinking about what, you know, it's really two distinct forms of matter, of flour, which is an innumerable number of separate grains. But when that flour, when oil is added to that and it's kneaded together, it becomes a whole different state of matter. Amen. It becomes one thing that moves and it's really different.
Okay. Jesus, as Son of Man, as the obedient Son of Man, was filled with the Holy Spirit the moment he began to become the meat offering. Now,
I
want
to say one thing because I can't get on the head about that. It's like oil by itself you can't eat. Flour by itself you can't.
It goes, no.
Neither one, but mix them together.
Yeah. Throw a little fire on them and you get some meat.
Then they can...
Well, there's sustenance.
Yeah, there's sustenance. Amen. That's good. And then you put salt on it, and it gets it the taste.
Tastes good.
Yeah.
So it's, and again, this is why it's so important. We're studying this in relationship to where we are with the lair.
Yeah.
And that, with a little water, you can live forever.
That's right.
You have to.
Okay.
Where is water connected to the burnt offering? Is that...
Well, it's verse...
inwards in his legs, you're washed.
They're washed in water.
With water.
Yeah. In verse 9. Chapter 1, verse 9.
Yeah. So washing of the actual...
The washing is the act of the Holy Spirit internally. That's his job. It's not our job. You understand?
Yeah.
The more that we see of this, the more that we will see that he will it and do it in us. I mean, it's like, really all that we have to do is hang around. We have to present, and hanging around becomes you present yourself as a living sacrifice. You commend yourself openly to every man's conscience in the sight of God. That's the danger of prophesying. And in that process, we see this as the finished work.
Yeah, it's funny because in the process, in the hanging around, you exercise your offices. In the hanging around,
Amen.
Which isn't any different than what you just do.
Amen.
But God has given those offices to be presented, and that's in our life we do that. And then the apprehension happens.
Amen. And then when we apprehend it, the act gives us joy. Without apprehension, it's drudgery.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
No. Same act.
Yeah.
Amen. Very same act.
No. I mean, pouring out your life is joy unless it's... But if there's no revelation, you don't understand.
It's just judge, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, his sacrifice of himself as the meat offering was in the anointing and in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what the oil represents here. Remember, it says, he shall pour oil upon it. That's all we're going to say. He shall pour oil upon it. Six words. We're going to probably spend a couple weeks on six words. He shall pour oil upon it. Now let's go to Luke 3.
That's how you get behind it. It's 3-year cycle.
Luke 2.
Luke Just as a matter of, just to remind you, I'm sure you all know this, but if Doug were here, you'd say, yeah, I know, but why don't you do it for their benefit? Go to Luke chapter 11, first. I want to show you something. Verse 9, and it's the same, it's in the same thing that Matthew says, it's the study and teaching of the Lord's Prayer, and the things attended to it. And then it talks about importunity, you know, screaming and yelling at the guy at night, give me some bread. And then verse 9, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Now, in Matthew, it says something different. The implication in Matthew is that you'll get what you ask for. But what everyone is asking for, but they don't know they're asking for, is the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what all the revelation was in the ancients. The promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Luke is, above all things, the revelator of the Holy Spirit. But he's the revelator of the Holy Spirit, not in some even charismatic way. He's the revelator of the Holy Spirit according to the law.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
Well, that's awesome.
That's awesome.
Now, again, we're at a point where I think it's momentous, and it seems like we're reaching these points. I mean, these come pretty often lately. But I think we're at a point now where the Father can pour the Holy Spirit upon us. You understand? I mean, it's almost like Gene's complaints against us was the evidence of that, in a sort of a perverted sense. I mean, because he was, what he was complaining for about us was for doing the work of the Holy One of Israel.
Yeah. It's a witness outside saying something that, could only be said that way.
Oh, yeah, he's
genius. Shouldn't have done that.
No, and I trust that in me. I have to trust that sense, or that. I mean, we've been here for what? I've been over here. You've been here for how many years?
As long as little Gary's been alive.
So that's 10 years. 10 years.
Well,
so we've known him for that long. I've been moved over here now for a little over 3 years. In all that time, he's always been, except there's twice that he broke and came and talked to me privately about his own personal problems, which I, for some reason, tonight, he's out of my consciousness. I've shaken the dust off my feet. And it seems that that is really important and really wild in some sense. I can't explain it. So anyway, you see that even in this, let's go to Matthew 7 and I won't show you. We'll see the contrast. Well, never mind. I don't want to do that. We're gonna get late here. Let's go to Luke. Luke chapter
3.
Where are you going to go? You, I mean, we can talk some more, but I think that I'd rather have others here. So.
Yeah.
That's enough to chew on.
No pun intended.
No pun intended. Meat offering, chew.
Case.
Okay. Take a big guy.
Oh, yeah.